On episode 273 of the Tennis Files podcast, you'll learn how to transform your tennis fitness with Coach T.C. Costello.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Welcome to the Tennis Files Podcast, bringing you advice from the top minds in tennis to help you improve your game. And now, here's your host, Mehrban Iranshad.
Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Tennis Files Podcast. This is Mehrban Iranshad, your host, and I'm really excited to bring you an interview with Coach T.C. Costello. I actually met T.C. for the first time at JTCC. It's a lot of T and C's, but please excuse the humor. But I talked to TC actually at the homecoming, if you will, for Francis TFO. A few days before that, or maybe it was a week before that, Brad Gilbert came to town, and who I had on the show a couple weeks ago. And if you haven't checked that episode already, checked it out yet, then definitely do so. But Brad talked, and then he actually invited TC up to chat about Francis's ascent, up into the top 20. And, you know, he did so well at the US Open, which was such a fun run to check out and support. And, you know, I was really impressed by TC and what he said about Francis's commitment to fitness and changing his mindset. And then I emailed him after that, I believe. And then I chatted with him, as I mentioned, at Francis's homecoming, where I think Prince George's County actually named that day Francis TFO Day. So that was really cool. But yeah, managed to get TC on the show. And TC is the Senior Director of Athlete Development at the Junior Tennis Champions Center. I've had many guests on from there because they have some really elite coaches as well as players that have played there. We've had Vesa on the show, Vesa Ponka. I've had Dennis Kudla on, who trained there. I've had Robin Montgomery, who we mentioned on today's show as well. And TC is the current fitness coach of Francis TFO. He works with many ITF top 10 players as well, and WTA player Allison Risk. And he is NSCA strength and conditioning specialist and a DBC fitness level 1 coach as well. So he has the credentials to back up his excellent work in the field. So yeah, it was just really cool to talk with TC about his background in fitness, which certification he thought was the most helpful, and then, you know, most importantly for us tennis players, what type of exercise routine should we employ, especially for us, in between the 3.0 to 4.5 levels, mainly is the audience population of the show. So yeah, and then we obviously do talk about Francis's training and what he did to really elevate his game, and I think you'll be a little bit surprised about how he did it, and what type of routine he had, and how important it is to really understand your body and who you are, and base your
everybody. It's an honor to have on TC Costello on the podcast. I'm just really excited because some of my favorite guests have been in the tennis fitness realm. And as I mentioned in the intro, TC obviously has some sick credentials in that realm, you know, training some great players like Francis, obviously, and Robin. So, yeah, TC, first of all, thanks so much for coming on, and really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. I'm thank you for having me. So,
Yeah, of course, of course. So, yeah, I guess we'll just launch into it, man, because I know that you have a training session on the next hour. So, just want to get a little bit of your background before we ask like the really interesting tennis specific fitness questions. So, like, how did you get into the world of tennis fitness? That's always interesting to me.
So, my story, my dad was a strength and conditioning coach. He was a strength and conditioning coach for the University of Maryland's football team in the 80s. And then he went with the Washington Capitals from about 1988 to 2003. And then he, in around 2004, started working with some tennis players here. Vesa had contacted him and he started doing some stuff with tennis. And he had worked with some pretty good players. Dennis, when he was really young, and Vera Zaranareva, who I think got to like three in the world. So he worked with them when he, and so that's kind of how I got into it. He left tennis and kind of retired. My dad has a background in track. He was coaching track in Maryland, but that's kind of how I got into both. That's how I got into strength and conditioning, was because of my dad. I grew up around it. Didn't really know that's what I wanted to do. But every summer in college, I would end up just working with him. So I was around it. And then, it just happened to be when I got out that Frank Salazar and Vesa reached back out to my dad and asked him to come back. And so he asked me if I would be interested in coming to work with him. And I said, yeah. And then that's how I got into it. And then when my dad retired, I kind of took over. But it's kind of, I've been around it. My dad was, he was one of the first strength coaches in the NHL. And so I grew up around it. And then he happened to work with tennis. And so that's how I just got into it.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Like, I didn't realize that your dad was working with all these like professional teams. So really cool.
He had a huge background in strength. If it wasn't for him, I don't know if I would be, working in this, but.
Definitely. And kudos to him. And is there one particular certification or like training program? I'm just curious, because I've gotten this question from some aspiring tennis fitness coaches. Like, is there one program out there that like you think really helped to enhance your fitness knowledge or tennis specific fitness knowledge, one or the other?
Well, I went out and got the NSCA CSCS, which is one of the main certifications for college strength and conditioning, professional strength and conditioning. You're going to find everybody has that. So that's a tough one to get. And I had to study and I worked my way and got that. And that's the main one I have. And then you just tack on with tennis specifically. There's a few out there that I think Mark Kovacs has a ITP. He has a certification. I know I've actually been meaning to get into that and I just haven't had the time, but I know that one. I mean, he's the best. So that one, if you're looking for, if people were looking to really kind of, because if you take the NSCS, you're getting it, none of it's tailored to tennis. It's all just strength and conditioning and for every sport. And it's not, if you're looking for one centered towards tennis, that one would be perfect because, and then he's got a book as well. I think it's called I don't know what it's called exactly, but that book, that book was huge to me because it kind of laid out the how long the points are, the different surfaces, the stuff that people don't really look into, that when they just hear tennis, they don't really take into consideration, the different surfaces, how long each point is, how long the breaks are. And that book did a real good job explaining all that. So that's important to, so if I were to recommend one specifically towards tennis, I'd recommend that. And then just reading those books as well. But the NSCA, if you want to get into strength and conditioning, usually you're going to have that certification. Most every, high level strength coach has that.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen a lot of them. The good ones have that as well. And I think the book, which I also have and forgot the name, but I just Googled it on my computer, is Complete Conditioning for Tennis. Yeah, that might be the one you're talking about.
There's another one. I believe it's by him. It's the same thing, but it's a tennis anatomy book. It's another good one.
Oh, yeah.
It's another good one because it lays out you know, what muscles are used the most. And it's tailored specifically towards tennis. It's very unique. You don't get that a lot.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I need to get that one. But we'll definitely link those books in the show notes page. And yeah, for those on audio, I held up my shirt because I'm wearing an ITPA shirt. But yeah, I actually, I got the TPT, like level one, cert a while ago. But it was really cool. Like, you know, it definitely helped me enhance my knowledge as well. Yeah. So I guess as far as tennis fitness principles for adult players, we'll try to like adapt it to, you know, most of the audiences. I was telling you before we started recording are like, you know, between like maybe 3-0 to like 4-5, some 5-0s and whatnot, some 2-5s. Like, what are like the one or two most important tennis fitness principles that tennis players in that range need to keep in mind or follow?
Well, I would recommend. See, I don't work with a whole lot of adults in my time working with adults. And it took me a while to kind of, because I'm a big, you know, I'm the higher levels, movement is so important. And then when you start working with adults, you realize that you're going to have a high injury background and you're going to have so many limitations as to what you can do. And the adults that I have worked with, I run into that. You know, it took me a while to kind of get used to that, okay, this drill doesn't really work because these older, if they're older, if they've had injuries, they can't move as well. So I would recommend, and what I was, it's just a general strength program. Just honestly, just getting in the gym and being consistent with your strength training will help. I don't think with the older population, it's beneficial to get real specific into tennis and do all these drills, these cone drills going out wide, because it's just not realistic. Especially if you get, you know, there's some people that only play doubles, and there's some people that, especially when you get into an older population, they like to play doubles, they play on clay. So there's not really a lot of movement to begin with. So just keeping them healthy would be the main thing. And and that is just honestly getting in and getting with a trainer and making sure you're doing the exercises the right way, making sure you're squatting the right way, lunging the right way, keeping the core strong. Getting on a general strength program and doing it, making sure you're doing that correctly, especially when you're a little bit older, the technique, there's so many limitations, whether you got a hip problem. So I would, if you don't know, you know, if you don't have a big background with training, I would recommend definitely, at least in the beginning, working with a trainer just to make sure you have the technique right, because you don't want to go in there and you end up doing more harm than good. So.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, TC, because I mean, you know, obviously a lot of adults like don't even really, you know, lift weights or, you know, do have a strength and conditioning program at all. So I guess, you know, maybe the prioritization for them is just the injury prevention and to stay strong. And,
The more, I don't want to say generic, but more, you know, like a just basic strength and conditioning exercises done well are going to benefit them more than, you know, doing fancy drills with cones and movement. Cause if their movement's not, you know, maybe you got to look at it kind of individually. Obviously some adults, maybe they do want to do that and they're great movers. And then you can do a little bit more with them. But I think as people get older, just being on a strength and conditioning plan consistently and, you know, I'm not going to get into specific exercise or anything, but just doing that, you know, squats, lunges, whatever it is that you can do to keep strong and core, upper body, keeping the shoulder healthy, all that. So,
yeah, that makes sense. So I guess if you were to design like an ideal, and you know, it's there's a lot of factors, like, cause I know like, you know, it depends how many days per week you can work out and things like that. So maybe I'll give you a hypothetical and then you can tell me what you think. So let's say this player has, maybe 3 days a week that they can work out maybe like 30 to 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, you know, in terms of like, do you, you know, with the 3 days, like, do you want them to be doing 3 or 4 days? Do you want them to be doing like, you know, upper lower? Do you want them to do like full body? Like, what are your thoughts on that? And also like, I know you mentioned like the prioritization again is like the, I guess strength training, but like, I don't know if you also would add anything else in there. Like, let's say maybe they're have decent health. Like, do you want to add like a agility footwork day? Like, I don't know.
Once again, it would, in this scenario, we'll kind of view this person as a healthy, you know, they haven't had a lot of surgeries, they can move. So
Yeah.
In that case, I would still, for the strength work, I would definitely do full body. Okay. So I have full body lifts, a push, a pull, lower body, push, pull, that kind of layout, core mixed in there. Maybe some general shoulder stuff. And then anything to that person specifically, if they have limitations, and maybe you go through a little mobility with those limitations or whatever it may be. But so if it was 3 days a week, 30 minutes, I would recommend, because that's a limited amount of time, I would try to, honestly, let's say it was, you had a chance Monday, Wednesday, Friday to work out, I would try to do three strength workouts, full body strength workouts, maybe Monday, Wednesday strength, maybe Friday you could add a conditioning day, just to, if like a cardio day. Once again, that would all depend on the person's health. You know, maybe the person can only walk. They can't really get on a treadmill and put it on, you know, seven speed and go, that's too much pounding on the body. Yeah. So even walking for 40 minutes, whatever it may be, just to, you know, get a little bit of cardio then. And then you got to also take into consideration how much they're hitting already. So, you know, if they're playing singles and they're hitting 4 days a week, they're getting a little bit of conditioning there. So maybe you don't. So I think it would be important to do the strength work maybe 3 days a week, full body, full body. And now look, obviously, you know, that can change what the person's goals are. If the person's goals are to improve tennis, then that's exactly what I do. If the person's goals are to, you know, get jacked and look good, then that changes. You know what I mean? So, that all changes. So, but if it was general to improve someone's tennis, I would recommend full body lifts, maybe 3 days a week.
Gotcha. And I know, TC, that you didn't, I know you mentioned you weren't going to get into maybe specific exercises. Maybe it was for that particular question, but I was just wondering, like, you know, for those who maybe, I'll just say myself, like, I'm a little bit out of the range, but say, you know, I'm like a 5-0 player. Like, I'm like pretty serious about, like, you know, USA leagues, trying to get to nationals, like maybe getting back into like tournaments soon, things like that. So like, if I really do want to actually, like, let's say add an agility day and like, you know, try to get like quicker on the court, are there any particular, you know, cause you know, I guess a lot of us are familiar with like some of the basic drills. Like, are there any like basic footwork drills like on court that you think are really good? You like, I know like Mark Kovacs talks about like the MK drill, you got the spider drill, like, you know, all these things. Like
the MK drill is good. That's more of a conditioning drill. So that's just going to, you're not going to really improve speed there. But in terms of agility, I like to do, if I'm doing agility work on the court, I like to do it with a reactionary component where I'm kind of pointing and we're pointing or going to a color just to keep it a little bit similar to the game. Like I don't do a lot of like ladder work because it almost becomes like dance steps where it gets, if you're good at it, it just becomes natural and easy, and there's no reactionary. You can almost zone out and just do it. But keeping the player engaged by, you know, I even a four cone, like if I'm at the baseline, and you've probably seen it, I think it's an X drill if they're hitting. But just doing that, but without the hitting, where they just go back and touch the cone, but they come to the middle and I point back, I point forward. And just, I like doing drills like that with the reactionary component because it relates more to the sport. And so, it depends. If I'm doing it more from a conditioning standpoint, I could give a little bit of rest. If I'm doing it more for speed component and I want everything done at 100%, I may go shorter time and a lot of rest. It just depends. But those, if I'm doing agility drills for tennis, I'd recommend having a reactionary component. So even if it's literally as simple as keeping the person at the baseline, right? And they're doing, let's say they're just keeping their feet active on the baseline, you point out wide forehand, and they go out, hit a wide forehand, come back short forehand, wide back, short forehand, back, like, just, you know, it's nothing crazy, but that way it's keeping their feet active and it's going to relate more to the sport. So, because there's no, you can get real, you know, I don't know if there's a magic drill that could make you quicker on the court, because it's such a combination of things, and a lot of it you know, some people are always going to be faster than other people. That's just genetic. But then a lot of the way you build it, your speed and your strength is in the gym too. So,
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, I love that reactionary drill tip, because like obviously like in tennis, you know, like you're reacting like the person like where they're hitting the ball. Right. So that's what you'd want to do instead of just, you know, sprinting back and forth.
And then I'd recommend just like simple. Simple is better, in my opinion, than doing some crazy, you know, cone set up all over the place and just, you know, making it outrageous just like because it looks cool. But so I think simple is better. So
yeah, definitely. Especially as you mentioned, like, you know, a lot of us in the leagues especially are playing doubles. So I mean, it's pretty quick.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people can get, you know, go nuts with ladder drills and because it looks cool. And
Yeah. How would you make, like, you know, a lot of us will train by ourselves and whatnot, just go to the court. Like, is there any way to like make it reactionary, like on our own? It's funny because you made me think of like when I was in law school and I actually stopped playing tennis and went through the meathead phase that we talked about. I went on the heavy bag sometimes, and like I had this like Bass Rutten tape. It was like an MMA fighter, former one. And like he would just shout out like random combinations.
Right, that's pretty, just, like, that's actually pretty, I've never heard of that. That's actually pretty cool. Yeah, because I was
It was cool.
Thinking off the top of my head to your question, would there be a way to do it on on your own? Oh, that'd be tough. Yeah. I mean, that I don't know. I've never even really thought of doing it on your own. I've always, you know, if I do agility work, I usually I'm doing it with the athlete. I wouldn't have them do it on their own. If that was the case, I would just it would become more of a, you know, like figure eights or something like that, where they don't need a reactionary component, just more basic agility drills. But I like to do the reactionary stuff. There's probably, so like, I know the lights, they have the lights that can react.
Oh yeah. I've seen that. It raises place.
That's not probably realistic for most people. So, I mean, I guess technically you could do something where if you set up it like that, that's like really smart. The tape was very smart. Like if you just recorded yourself going like short forehand, like short back, and just kind of could go back based on that, it wouldn't be much different. So that would work.
Yeah. I've
never thought of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I'll use that now. Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, see, this is what happens when you brainstorm, man. Right. Yeah. Just like, you know, record it and you won't remember it. And then you just play it.
You could easily do that. That would work. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Love that.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And then kind of on the opposite end of like a previous question, what are maybe the top couple biggest fitness mistakes that we're making? And it's a broad question. So, yeah, I mean, it could be about like any component of fitness, really.
For the general public, I think, and as for maybe more of your listeners for, you know, more record, whatever level that you said. But
yeah,
I think they don't do enough stuff in the gym. I think sometimes people kind of shy away from strength and conditioning work. I think it's really important to keep that up as you get older. I think I think people for some reason get away from when they get older, maybe, you know, squatting or maybe doing deadlifts, or if you have good technique and you can do it, you've got to keep doing those exercises. And you can vary it to make it easier, like, you know, maybe deadlifting. Yeah. As you get older, it's maybe not the best thing to do if you're not, used to it. You don't have great technique, but then there's no reason you can't do it like a trap bar deadlift. That's a little bit easier, and it's going to keep you in that. So I think people get away from that. And then going back, I think people get a little bit ridiculous with agility drills. Just, you know, making it
social media,
making it over the top fancy and stuff. And when it just, you could make it so much simpler. And then I think, and then once again, getting, you know, getting too crazy in the gym, doing whether it's box jump stuff that, that looks good, but maybe just isn't really beneficial for someone that could just be doing basic strength exercises really well and getting the getting the same result. So I think that's a mistake people make. They get, it's kind of the opposite. They either they get away from strength training because they don't, they think, oh, it's not good for me, I don't have the technique, whatever it is. And on the other side, maybe they get too out of control with wanting it to look cool. So they start doing box jumps and they're landing with terrible technique. If you have bad technique on all that stuff and you're not doing it for a purpose, you're not doing anything. So, you know, I think that those are mistakes people make. And then, like I said, on court, just keep it basic, keep it simple, and you know, make sure it's going to have a carryover to the court. You know, if you're doing ladder work, you know, at least be able to explain why you're doing ladder work. You know, is it to get your feet warmed up? Is it to, oh, I want to improve my tennis? Well, how's that going to improve your tennis? So just knowing the why behind everything that you're doing.
Yeah, really important. I think I remember, was it Gil Reyes or somebody was, it was him that was telling us at one of these conferences with ITPA how like Andre would always ask him, like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? But it's funny.
To ask that. It really is.
Yeah.
I think even on court with coaches and players, you know, ask why. I mean, as long as you do it in a, you know, not a, hey, this drill's dumb, why are we doing it? Not like that. But asking a, you know, a respectful way, the coach is always going to give you a straight answer. So, you know, I'm not offended if someone asks me why, hey, I got a few questions about this drill, I just want to know why we're doing it. As long as it's not said to me as, hey, this drill's dumb, why are we doing it? Then I'm gonna throw you out.
I could tell you you got a thick skin, TC. But yeah, man. Yeah, I remember I had one of my good friends in tennis. You know, great fitness coach in tennis, Dean Hollingworth. He was talking about kind of similar point that you made about like you know, ridiculous drills and exercises. Like you just see them on social media and then you just copy them. But you again, you don't know like why are you doing this or what utility.
It's a real problem, especially with social media. I think you get Instagram and you see some drill and you just go out and do it without knowing what it is. And, you know, especially if you're doing something like, you know, I see a lot like box jumps or something. And if you're landing those things, you're a little older and you're landing them with terrible technique, you're just destroying your body. Why? Because you saw it on like, oh, this guy did it. You know, when you see Alcaraz doing a drill, like if you're 50 years old, you probably go out and do that drill because I saw Alcaraz doing. Well, Alcaraz is like a freak athlete. So, you know, maybe you can't do that drill. So you have to, that's important.
Exactly. Yeah. Progressions, you know.
That's why it is important. I think, especially if you're a little bit older and you're just, you don't have a big background in strength and conditioning. If you played tennis in college, you're going to know enough to probably not need a trainer. If your technique is good, if you know what you're doing and you paid attention in college when you were in the gym, and you'll probably be fine. But if you have no training background, I would at least in the beginning, 100% start with a trainer just to make sure your technique is good. I mean, you go to a gym, you'll see people with horrific technique and it just, you know, it just, it's like, oh man, this person's just asking to get hurt. So,
yeah. The old, bicep curls in the squat rack.
Right. And they're just doing deadlift and their back is just flexed forward. You're just going, oh man.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's not great to watch.
No.
So, obviously you've done so much great work and it was really cool to meet you like when, Brad came into town and, you know, you gave a really cool, like, you know, a few minutes talk about Francis, like, during that time. And then I talked to you, like, I think a few days after at, Francis's, like coming back day from US Open sort of thing, which was really cool. And they like, I think they named it, you know, that day, Francis TFO Day PG County, which is sick. Right. But I think I was, you're talking about like Francis and how like he committed himself for like 30 straight days to like to fitness, like every single morning. So I was really curious to kind of get into that, you know, I guess what was the cause of that? And then, you know, whatever details you can give us, I'm really curious as to like what types of things like he was doing.
He that was in February. He went, he had had some injuries at the end of last year. He played Vienna. He got to the finals. He played Paris, and then he had some what he thought was elbow injury. And so it couldn't really serve, wasn't feeling great. And so he spent his off season mainly doing just rehab on his elbow and made a big mistake of not doing enough conditioning work. He was seeing a specialist in Florida, and kind of, he would probably tell you got a little lazy in his off season. So then he went to Australia, and he was a little bit out of shape, to be completely honest with you. And so he came back, didn't have a great Australia, was still having the pain in the shoulder and the elbow, mentally wasn't great. And then so he decided in February he wasn't going to play at all, and he was just going to get himself in the best shape he could get, and then at the same time get himself healthy. So what he would do is for a month, well, first of all, he just changed his mindset. Right? He focused a little more. He went and saw a nutritionist, changed his diet a little bit, which was huge, which was a big commitment for him because that's not something he had done in the past. Then, you know, he would come see me in the morning, and then he would go over to MedStar in the afternoon in DC and see Lance Kelly, who's one of their top trainers, and he would focus on the shoulder and the elbow. And that was what it ended up being, was more just weakness in the shoulder and his whole shoulder, all the rotator cuff muscles were he was just weak, and he hadn't trained consistently enough to kind of get it where it needs to be. And he would tell you he was just, you know, he didn't have the best mindset on the road. He wasn't training consistently. And so he spent that month doing that 5 days a week for about 4 weeks straight. And then we went into Indian Wells. Then he also made a decision. That was when he decided he wanted to bring me for 15 weeks on the road, just to kind of stick with it. Wow. So he made a big commitment. It was a change in what he had done in the past. And he knew, I think, you know, he wasn't consistent enough with his training. He would work with me and then go on the road, and I would send him stuff, but it becomes on you now. And maybe he wasn't, you know, he wasn't fully invested when he was doing those workouts on his own. And so, you know, when I was with him on the road, it makes it a lot easier. I can keep an eye on him, make sure the technique is well, push him a little bit more. So, and he went into Indian Wells, played decent at Miami. And then, you know, I think he noticed the big difference all of a sudden. He was hitting the ball harder with the shoulder being healthy. And that credit mainly goes to Lance, but he was keeping the shoulder healthy. And then he was able to, you know, he noticed the difference. He noticed the difference in his movement. You know, I just talked to him last night. He just said, his movement is so, he feels like he's moving so well right now. And that's just a credit to him for, you know, it all came, you know, I gave him the stuff, I guided him, but it was him working hard and making the investment that he was going to be engaged in everything he did. And you know, no longer, right, this is it. The days of me messing around are over, you know? And so that was kind of what did it. That month was big. I think month was big for him, because it just kind of gave him a little confidence that, all right, I can lock in and really get after it and get this done. And I think it gave him a lot of confidence. He felt like he was in the best shape he's been in a while. And you could see it carried on. It took him a little while to get going. You know, he made some changes to his game. I didn't have anything to do with that, obviously. But Wayne made some changes to his game that took a little while to click. And when it clicked, I think, you know, you saw the results, Wimbledon, and then kind of since Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
US Open, Japan, you know, he just got to the finals, right, like super tight.
Right.
You know, one. Yeah. So with Fritz. So yeah, it's amazing. So, you know, sometimes like we try to change our mindset with something, but like we just go back into like the old sort of what we were doing before. So like, what was it? Do you think it was like you going on the road with him for was it 15 weeks that did it, or like was it something else? Because surely, you know, like he wouldn't like feel like doing it, like especially in the first few weeks. I'm sure there were days where he didn't want to.
I think in the beginning of that month, getting him to lock in and get it, there was a lot of tough workouts that he didn't really, he kind of had to grind his way through and he wasn't enjoying it. But when you put in the work that, and you feel like you're in the best shape, you're like, the confidence just goes up through the roof. Mm. So I think knowing, you know, being on the road, obviously helping him being more consistent and giving the workouts it helps. But I think just knowing that he was just confident. He was just confident that I know I've worked. So I know I've worked harder, just as hard as the guy on the other side of the net. So I think it just gave him a lot of confidence. And then you see a lot of it depends on the results. You know, there was a few tough times there. We were in Rome and I believe he lost first round in Madrid. He lost first round. And there were a few tough talks where he was going, you know, I feel like I'm doing everything right and I'm not getting the results. And that's frustrating. So then the results started to come. And then all of a sudden the confidence builds and the belief builds. And, you know, knowing that he's put in the work and he's just he was in a real good space mentally. So I think that's the main thing. Yeah. You go through these tough workouts, these tough weeks of training, whatever. You get a 2-week block. There's certain workouts that I'll do where kind of take him to the edge. You know, he doesn't like to run. So, you know, if we go to the track and put him through a tough work, that gives you confidence. That gives you confidence. So expect, you know, it's different for each person. Some guys it's easy. Some guys working out is easy. You take him to the track, it's no big deal. You know, they just put, for him, it's tough. And so when he goes through that stuff, it does give him confidence.
Yeah, definitely. No, big credit to you and the team on that. You know, I'm curious, and obviously preface this by saying, as we said before, you know, I mean, it depends where you are, what stage you are in your tennis fitness. But like the track workouts, I'm curious if you could give us any insight into what you were, you know, doing there. Like, I mean, was it all sprint work or like were you doing any like, you know, lateral movement, like
if I took him to the track, it'd be more for conditioning. So we have a good setup here at JTC. We have a straightaway out front that's about maybe 150 meters long and maybe not that long, but we, you know, if I'm doing speed work, it's nice. I can do it out there. And so when I go to the track, it's more of a conditioning where I like to do 400s with him. I think that's that's a real good one for tennis. And, you know, with him, when you go to the track, there's just something, you know, when you go to a track, it's something mentally, you know, you're in for a grind. It's a different scene. You know, you're going, you're just looking at it. You're going, all right, this is going to be brutal. And so it's a big mental thing as well. Just go in there at like 400s, they really push you. And, you know, it depends on who you're with in terms of work to rest or whatever. I'm not going to get as specific, but you know, that I like 400s doing a trip. But I mean, if you were going, you can obviously, if you don't have the straightaway, I'd be going and doing more speed work, more 100s with more rest for speed or whatever it may be. But yeah, with him, when I would go to the track, it was more for conditioning. And it was the main goal. It was more almost, conditioned, but also for him, big mentally. It was big mentally. Because I know how much confidence he takes out of workouts like that.
Yeah, so I'd love to hear it.
That's knowing your athlete. And it would honestly, Robin was very similar too. She didn't like to run and wasn't a great sprinter or natural runner. So put her through stuff like that. It gives her confidence.
Nice. Yeah, she's awesome. She was on the podcast a while ago, maybe a few months ago. But really fun interview. She's great. And As far as, because, you know, I hear obviously from a lot of tennis fitness experts that, you know, you want to train like how you play, but then you also have mentioned this element of conditioning and also how it even feeds to like the mental aspect of it, of breaking through what you thought you couldn't do. So like, how do you balance that with players that you train? Like how much, like, are you doing more speed work and then once in a while you do the conditioning?
Well, it does depend. I mean, you look at the athlete, you assess the athlete, you see what their weaknesses are, whether it's through testing, whatever. And you kind of,
yeah.
Some guys running is just natural. It's easy. You know, there's a guy, mm-hmm. Andrew Fenty, who plays in Michigan.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. he's a big, strong kid, but he can run all day. He's come from a background of his grandfather was a marathon runner. His dad runs all day. So it's just, I mean, it's not beneficial for me to have him go and do these crazy running because it's not going to be that hard for him. It's just, so he might need to spend a little more time in the gym and almost get away mm-hmm. from the running a little bit because it's easy for him. And so maybe focus a little more work on the bike, a little tougher, shorter intervals, whatever it may be. You got to just kind of assess the athlete, look at it, and then base it off of that. There's some guys, I think they get a lot of conditioning on the court. This is a weird sport where they, you know, it took me a while to realize like the norm for tennis players is to practice like 2 to 4 hours every day. It's just, it's a wild sport. It's very, you don't get that in a lot of sports. So it's already a lot of pounding on the body. And if you have a practice where you're aside for, you know, whatever, 45 minutes was not a lot of rest and the coaches just keeps feet. You've just done it. You've just done a lot of conditioning. So you don't really, need to do a whole lot that day. So you have to kind of talk to the coaches and see what they're doing on the court as well. You know, if you've got a hard sprint workout plan, it's important to communicate that to the coaches. So they make sure they're not doing a bunch of crazy side to side stuff on court or anything like that. So. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if that answered your question, but that's how I kind of see it.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a ton of sense.
I would say that, and especially parents at a young age, when they have younger kids, they have this idea that they're scared of their kids getting too big and the weight. It's so important to strength train and to make sure that even at a young age, 10, 11, you can go in there and teach them how to squat. Mm. You know, it's not like I always tell parents, it's not like if I got a young kid that's 11, it's not like I'm putting them on the squat rack and having them max out on the squat. But, you know, we may hold some dumbbells in goblet position and just learn the technique teach them how to hip hinge. It's not, you know, it's important to learn that stuff.
Yeah.
In college, foundation. You know, one thing I'll say in college, you get, I think, a lot of strength coaches maybe don't really know tennis, and tennis, if you're at a big football school and kind of a mediocre tennis school where tennis isn't a big sport, they might just give you I see programs and it's just, you could tell it's just a generic football program and they don't really know anything about the sport. So you will see that a lot in college. So.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I kind of felt that way, but I did notice some adaptations in some of the workouts, like slight, but
if you have a good strength coach, then it's going to be no problem. They're going to know what they're going to do the research if they care, and they're going to look at the sport and tailor it to make sure it benefits the sport.
Yeah, no, 100%, man. Yeah. And I know we only have a few minutes left. I was wondering if you have any insight into Francis's recovery routine and you know how it could apply to like, you know, adult players and like the main things that we should be doing.
Yeah, well that's probably a little unreal with him. He has all his tournaments he has a physio with him, and so mm-hmm. When he's done, he gets on the table and gets all the treatment done. He just lays there and so he gets all the treatment done by the physio. It's a good setup. Yeah, it's a pretty unrealistic setup for your everyday player. And so I would just recommend, you know, when they're if it's in a, just make sure you're getting in there and doing some basic stretches. You know, if you have a injury and you've gone to PT in the past, and whether it's a hip, just make sure you're keeping up with those exercises. consistently. That's one thing I think that adults tend to get away from. Maybe they get hurt and then they go to physical therapy and then they start to feel better and then they just abandon all the exercises that made them feel better. So, you know, if you have those rehab exercises, maybe you do those after you hit. You go in there, you spend a little bit of time doing mobility, stretching, cooling down. Then you focus maybe on if you had a shoulder injury, making sure you're doing those rehab work that they get. Just doing that, just getting in there, not just going straight from the court to your car and going home, just trying to get a few minutes of time to bike and then maybe just stretch a little bit. It's not realistic. You know, like I said, France is a physio with him. I think it's wouldn't be comparable at all just because he's able to just go literally when his match is over, it just goes on the table and then it's up to them. Yeah. It's our job to make sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we have a few billionaires listening to this podcast. Yeah.
You can do that. Yeah. Do that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, man. Are there any like places that you'd like people to like check out to follow like what you're doing, like any, you know, socials, website, anything like that?
I put a lot of stuff just on my personal Instagram, which is tcostello19. You can shoot me a follow. Yeah. And I got some stuff up there with Francis. And then obviously just, you know, look, if you got a kid that is JTCC is a great program and some great coaches and some great players that have come out of here and of all levels. So, you know, just check out, you know, JTCC and, you know, if you got a kid that's interested in getting in tennis, no matter what level, or if you're an adult looking to play, the club side is bumping pretty good here right now. So just, that's it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the best training center around, man, for sure.
I appreciate
love
that.
Playing there. Oh yeah, no, definitely, hands down. And last question, just to close it off, is I know you've given us a lot of great you know, advice today, but like, what is one key tip or takeaway from today that you want, you know, the audience to like take action on to help them improve their tennis fitness?
If you're not doing any strength training, start to do a little bit more. It's you know, work around whatever injuries you have, but try to get into the gym 2-3 days, whatever you can do, just to build some strength in your body. If you're having knee problems, you know, if you're able to get the quads and the hand, everything a little bit stronger around the knee, you might start to feel a little bit better. So just to get in there and do some strength work. And like I said, if you know what you're doing, go in there and just start doing it consistently. If you don't know what you're doing and you just go into hit and you have no background or training whatsoever, go see a trainer and just get an idea of some routine that you can get on that'll at least keep you healthy. And it's important to keep that up as you get older.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, strength is the foundation of, you know, power, speed, all mm-hmm. that stuff, and it'll keep you healthy. So great stuff, TC. Well, thanks a lot for coming on to the podcast. Looking forward to seeing you. Yeah, of course, anytime. Hope to connect again soon, and all the best. And yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Big thanks to TC for coming on to the show. I hope you really enjoyed my interview with him. And if you did, I would really appreciate it if you would leave a review for the show. And you can do that by going to tennisfiles.com/Apple Podcasts with an S at the end, or just click the review button in your favorite podcast app of choice that you use to listen to the show. Apple Podcasts will help the most just by virtue of, you know, it has the biggest audience listening to the show there. And so, yeah, I would really appreciate your honest feedback on the show, and thanks so much for that. And I also would like to leave you with a quote, as I often do at the end of the show, and this one is by Napoleon Hill. And Napoleon said, "If you cannot do great things, do small things in a great way." I really love that, and it really gets you accustomed to doing things 100%. And when you build these small habits and do the job correctly, then that spills over in everything else that you're doing as well, gradually. So, yeah, thanks so much for listening. Links are in the show notes page. All the links that we mentioned in the show, definitely check out TC at T. Costello19 on social, and check out those books that Dr. Kovacs has written. And again, links on the show notes page. All right, with that, thanks so much for listening to the show, and I'm looking forward to bringing you more interviews just like this one in the future, as well as some cool YouTube videos. I'm working on one. I don't know if it'll be out. It may be out by the time you listen to this, on how to record yourself playing tennis. So I filmed a lot of video for that. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to putting that one out there soon. And with that, have a great one. Keep improving your tennis game. And I'll see you on the next episode of the Tennis Files Podcast. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Tennis Files Podcast. For more tips to help you improve your tennis game, visit tennisfiles.com.